Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
God gives us a very clear commandment today. Often when I hear people describe what it's like when they hear God's voice, they'll have a preamble saying, "Well, I didn't hear a booming voice from the sky or anything." But today in our gospel, that's exactly what we have. God the Father speaking as clear as ever, saying, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." What does it look like to listen to the son? We're a week and a half into Lent, and by now, the excitement of Lent might be wearing off a bit. By now, the hunger might be setting in, and we'd be a little tired of penance, just starting to hit those pangs. And yet, this is the moment that it's so good. This is the moment we're starting, as St. Paul says, no longer being a companion, an enemy of the cross of Christ. St. Paul says, "Many conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their stomach. Their minds are occupied with earthly things." As we are no longer worshiping our stomachs and saying no to our desires, no longer giving in to every pleasure, every appetite we have, we're becoming less and less occupied with earthly things. But our minds always have to be occupied with something. As we all know, if someone says, "Don't think about X," that is the only thing we can think about. Our minds have to be occupied with something. Our stomachs, our hearts have to have something that fills them. Man and woman are not made to be just empty. And Lent is not about only saying no, no, no. We don't occupy our minds with earthly things. We say no for the sake of occupying our minds with something else, for the sake of saying yes to something else. We occupy our minds with heavenly things. We say yes to Jesus Christ. But my only worry is that something we've heard before, that something that fits. Sure, say no to earthly things, we can say yes to heavenly things. Great. Sure, I'm hungry, so I can hunger for the Lord. That sounds right. But we may not actually believe that's true. Mother Teresa, in her utter wisdom, wrote a letter once to all of her sisters who spend hours praying and spend every other hour serving the poor, a letter called the Varanasi letter. She writes, "I worry that some of you still have not really met Jesus." These are sisters who pray for hours every day. One-to-one, you and him alone. "Jesus wants me to tell you again how much is the love he has for each one of you, beyond all that you can imagine. We may spend time in chapel, but have you seen with the eyes of your soul how he looks at you with love? Do you really know the living Jesus? Not from books, but from being with him in your heart. Have you heard the loving words he speaks to you? Never give up on this daily intimate contact with Jesus as a real living person, not just an idea. This is what it is to obey the Father's command, to listen to him, the daily intimate contact with Jesus. Mother Teresa goes on to say, Jesus wants you each to hear him, speaking in the silence of your heart. Not only that he loves you, even more, he longs for you. He thirsts for you. This day in, day out, daily intimate contact with Jesus as a person and not just an idea is what our heart is made for and is what we give up things for on Lent. We say no to our earthly desires so we can say yes to him, to the deeper desires of our heart, for the only one that can satisfy that, which is Jesus Christ. Mother Teresa is one that testifies that this is real, and that daily intimate contact with him who thirsts for us is the only thing that can satisfy our thirst, the hunger of our stomach. This daily prayer is what it's all about. In the Gospel of Transfiguration, this moment of glory when Jesus shines through and we see his glory, see what Jesus is really like, this happens in the moment when Jesus is praying to God the Father. Prayer is not just a workout routine. Prayer is not just, this is good for us, we should do it. Prayer is the glory of what we see in the gospel. When we are with our Father, when we are with our God, the glory of what happens then, of our God who thirsts for us. We see who God really wants to be for us, and we see who he wants us to be for him. That prayer doesn't just sound nice. It doesn't just fit. It is real, and it actually does satisfy our hearts. This is the last thing. But prayer is an act of faith. We go to prayer. We put the time in. We spend and just waste time with the Lord. And we finish it, and pretty often it doesn't feel like our hearts are satisfied. Pretty often it just feels like, well, I'm not really sure what just happened. I spent 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, and I'm not really sure what that was. Prayer is an act of faith. Sometimes we'll go to the oratory or our own bedroom, close the door, and we leave just touched by the Lord, and we get to glimpse some glory from Jesus Christ. And sometimes not. Sometimes it's just dry. But just like Abraham put his faith in God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. It's an act of faith to go to prayer, to that daily intimate contact with Jesus, day in, day out, trusting that God does show up. It's an act of faith to say no to other things we could fill our time with and say, no, I have to be with God. It's an act of faith to say, I don't know if prayer is going to fix my problems necessarily, but I know that I have to go and bring my problems before the Lord, whatever he'll do with them. And it's an act of faith just to show up again and again, even when it's not clear that God appears. Even when it feels more like the moments after the transfiguration, when it's just Jesus sitting there in his humanity, rather than him in his glory. When we show up to prayer day in and day out, that changes things, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it. Let's continue our self-denial. Let's continue our nose to our stomachs. Let's continue dying to ourself and make the act of faith that the daily intimate contact with Jesus Christ, the person who thirsts for each one of us, truly does satisfy our hearts.